Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in an attitude of prayer? Father, we thank you for this day and we give you the praise. We're thankful also that while the scripture has spoken to us very clearly, we're thankful that you're going to be at work in our hearts, in the deepest part of ourselves, in ways that we can't even imagine. So it's not simply about us hearing these words, it's about being open now to how you're at work. Thank you for loving us so much. And it's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. There was a father who took his daughter to Disney World for the first time. They headed straight for Space Mountain. The dad worried that the roller coaster was going to be a little bit too scary for his daughter, but she insisted, actually. She wanted to go. And to her delight, they rode it twice. Couldn't get enough of it. The next time they returned to the Magic Kingdom, the daughter, now older, dragged the dad to Space Mountain. As they stood in line, the dad noticed a different countenance on the daughter's face. Dad, she said, I don't think I want to go. The dad asked her why she was so nervous this time, while she had enjoyed herself so much the last time. And she replied, Dad, this year I can read. There's warnings on Space Mountain. You know, faith is very much like that. Faith is very much childlike in its essence. And then we learn to read. And we start feeling as though we are going to develop a better plan for our lives than God could ever have for our lives. And rather than stepping forward and trusting, we get very concerned about all the things that could go wrong. Do you know any of those people that come up with a list of things that could go wrong? Don't nudge the person next to you or point to them for my benefit. I'm not taking mental notes. I'm not going to be calling anybody. Faith is being willing to trust the creator of the universe, the creator of the lilies of the field, the flowers, the creators of all living things, the creators of the mountains and the oceans, and the creators of each and every one of us, the creator of each and every one of us with our lives. When we put it in that perspective, we start realizing, you know, what can I do but trust God? What other choice is there? Whenever we have that understanding, when we have that kind of willingness and openness, then indeed faith is growing in us. What else can I do but trust God? The scripture passage today is a passage that continues the long line of readings from the Sermon on the Mount. Some of the most powerful language, some of the most challenging words that have ever been printed, that have ever been communicated, that have ever been read. I don't know if you have the same feeling that I do, but whenever I read the Sermon on the Mount, every time I read it, I think, I don't know, God. I'm not sure. This is an awful lot. If it's up to us, if it was about our own strength, it could never happen. But thank God, and I say that reverently, thank God, it's about His strength and what He does in our lives and through us. It's not about us resting on our own laurels or resting on our own wisdom or knowledge or whatever we may puff ourselves up about. It's about resting in God's arms of grace and love and mercy. God, you see, is seeking our lives to use. This is not about any sort of prosperity gospel either. This is something that concerns me. There are individuals that come out with an idea that if you do certain things that they're saying that God wants you to do, then everything's just going to be hunky-dory. Hunky-dory, I think that's a Pennsylvania term meaning fine. I wanted to translate that. Everything's going to be great, and in fact, not only is everything going to be great, but you're going to get more than you ever expected. Well, we know that's not true. Being people of faith sometimes means that at that moment of accepting a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then things seemingly head south. I'm not talking about heading south for the winter. I'm talking about heading south, getting worse. Troubles come, and we wonder, what happened? And new Christians sometimes find themselves in that predicament of saying, yes, I want to hand my life over to God, and yet it seems like more challenges are coming my way. Well, it takes time to be able to grow into the people that God would have us be. He loves us right now. He loves you right now. Now that is a biblical truth. And that is a reality. And that is something that I will stand behind. A statement that I will stand behind above all other statements. God loves you. How are you being open to that love? I can't answer that one. I really can't. We can talk. We can discuss. We can share. But inevitably, in any time that I counsel with somebody, any time that I talk with somebody, any time that I pray with them, any time that I visit with them, it all really comes down to that bottom line. God loves you, but how are you open to it? How are you accepting that? How are you living through that love? How are you sharing that love? Does that make sense? I mean, that really comes down to it. That's the bottom line. Come up with all sorts of rules and regulations. I mean, Jesus addressed that later. In fact, actually, he referenced the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the Sermon on the Mount at different times. Those who would memorize laws, who would memorize things that were created by mankind. And that's what they thought faith was, but it wasn't. Jesus was saying it's much more simpler, and yes, it's much more difficult. But that's why Christianity While I'm not saying Christians are better than anyone, Christianity and being a Christian is advanced living. It does require more. It really does. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying we're better than anyone, okay? But Christianity is advanced living. That's a reality. For us, as those who are seeking to be about God's work, these are words that are encouraging and yet difficult. Fear nothing. Don't be afraid of anything. Nothing. Okay, that's the sermon for today. Go and live it now. Yeah, right. He talks about clothing. He talks about food. He talks about shelter. Jesus is giving it illustrations and examples about all those things. And in essence, he's saying, don't be fearful. Don't live in fearful ways. Live in faithful ways. Fear is actually the opposite of faith. Can you still be on a faith journey? Of course. Can you still be on a faith journey and be afraid of everything? Probably not. Does God stop working in your life if you're afraid? No. Because he loves you. Always and forever. But there's so much more to living. There's so much more, and there's so much abundance to being able to be people of faith and understanding that God loves us and how we share that. The items of longing that Jesus points to in this scripture passage, food, drink, clothing, are precisely those that will determine our place in the judgment. Think about that. Later on, what does he say whenever he offers the judgment narrative? In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is preaching here, but later on he continues to teach, later on in his life and later on in the Gospel of Matthew, where he says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me clothing. When the poor cry out, friends, their answer to their prayers should be God working through us. Do you understand the importance now of being people of faith, of being people who live it, who act it, who speak it, that it comes naturally out of our hearts? Jesus is in essence saying, if you're worshiping food and drink and shelter more than God, you're in trouble. If you're giving that more of a priority than my Heavenly Father, you have misplaced priorities. Very clear. It's interesting how the Bible really works together, isn't it? And how the Scriptures work together. Basically, whenever he starts talking about the last judgment, Jesus, that is, later on, he's already told them what's important and what they should value. And yet, sometimes people forget. I don't know if you ever forget anything. I'm not sure if anybody else here ever forgets anything. Forgets any names, shopping lists, things like that. Put a sticky note right on your chest, okay, before you go out in the morning. That'll have a list. Or on your forehead, and then you can ask somebody, what did I forget? And it also gives you a chance to meet somebody new. They may give you a really unusual response if you have that sticking on your forehead and asking them. We forget and we get distracted by pursuing things that we think are going to give us happiness in our lives. When we're committed solely to obtaining wealth, to gathering toys, you know that bumper sticker that says, those who die with the most toys win? Boy, is that untrue. When we're focused on that purely and solely, then indeed we will worry. And we'll worry about things that really take up a lot of time that it shouldn't. Yet let's really get down to the nitty-gritty here. Telling people not to worry, or saying to somebody, don't worry, is like telling them not to think of an elephant. How many of you just thought of an image of an elephant? That's why, for us, if we're dealing with somebody who is worrying about something, who has concerns about something, the most important thing that we can do is simply listen and receive it. Jesus certainly was the most magnificent preacher that ever lived. Well, he was God incarnate, God in human form. Makes sense. But he also listened extremely well. And he paid attention. How often do we see in the scriptures him speaking to people and speaking to particular individuals, and saying and addressing to them and bringing them out of the crowd, and maybe they were individuals who had been invisible up until then, but no one's invisible to God. And he would say to them, and he would point out to them something that they needed to hear, something that they were worrying about, and he would address it. That takes somebody who's really paying attention and who's truly listening to other people. Whenever our focus is on God in the proper place, not on things of the world, not on accumulation, not on wealth, not on gathering, then indeed we do have less worry and less anxiety. Are there bills to pay? Yes, of course. Are there things that need to be taken care of? Absolutely. But are there things that we add to the list and give more importance than they actually have? Absolutely. And what are those things? That's the point. Jesus is saying, what are the things on your list that you've added that God hasn't put there, but that you think are important? Guess who's the only one that can answer that question? We are. Think about your own list of things that you think are important. What have you placed on the list? What has God placed on the list? What are the essential things of life? And then let's go ahead and just name it clearly, what are the essential things of God that we need to focus on in our lives? How can we be God's presence in His world? The deacon took a bunch of kids to a retirement home. And this was one of those deacons who was kind of ornery, and he kind of prided himself on being a curmudgeon. Again, don't elbow anybody next to you. And so he wasn't interested, but he did it anyways because nobody else wanted to do it. And yet God had been working in his heart, and he didn't even realize it. You know, he probably had other things on his list that he gave great importance to. And he was distracted by God, but there was a part of him that was very open to allowing God to work through him and grow in him and develop in him so that he could be truly a minister and disciple. And so he took these kids to the retirement home, and he was in the back with his arms folded, kind of body language saying, I don't think I'm going to like this. And all of a sudden, someone started tugging at his arm. There was an older brother in Christ in a wheelchair, and he took hold of that older brother's in Christ hand, and that other brother in Christ just held his hand through the entire service. The next month, that was repeated. This deacon again took these kids there, and this brother was looking for him, for that particular man, and he held his hand. The next month and the next month continued this repeating cycle. Go and hold somebody's hand for a service. God was doing something more, however. The old man, all of a sudden, on 1 month, wasn't there anymore. And the deacon inquired about him because they'd developed a relationship, even though he was kind of crusty. They developed a relationship, and there was kind of some love that was growing there, and God was at work in powerful ways, and priorities were changing, things were happening that pointed to God's kingdom. Just between those two brothers, things were happening. And the deacon inquired about where this brother in Christ was, and one of the aides said, "Oh, he's down the hall, right-hand side, third door. He's dying. He's unconscious. But if you want to go down and just pray over his body, that's okay." The deacon went, and there were tubes and wires hanging all over the place, and the deacon took the man's hand and prayed that God would receive that man, that God would bring this man from his life into the next and give him eternal blessings. And as soon as he finished the prayer, that brother in Christ squeezed the deacon's hand, and the deacon knew that he had been heard. He was so moved, the deacon, that tears started running down his cheeks, and he stumbled out of the room and bumped into a woman. And she said, "You know, he's been waiting for you. He said he didn't want to die until he had the chance to hold the hand of Jesus one more time." "What do you mean?" The young woman continued, saying, "Well, my father would say that once a month Jesus came to this place. He would take my hand and he would hold my hand for a whole hour. I don't want to die until I have the chance to hold the hand of Jesus one more time." Was God at work there? Absolutely. Because that deacon made a priority of going to a care facility. Because that deacon made a priority of making sure and holding that gentleman's hand that he really didn't even know the name of, but he knew him, and he knew he'd be counting on seeing him and holding his hand. Is that the priority that we should have? Absolutely. Whenever it's more about others, whenever it's more about people, when it's more about being God's church and being God's people, then we can know that our faith is not in things that will fade away, but in things that are eternal. I invite you right now to be with me in an attitude of prayer. And I invite you to think about this particular scripture passage, this last scripture passage, and think about your own priorities in your life. What you value, and then maybe what God would value more, and how you need to reorder your list possibly. We all do. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Be a prayer with me right now, as God's people, being open to His grace, being open to the reordering of our lists that He would like to do. The sorting through and the throwing out of things that we have valued versus the things that He would value. In this prayer, simply say, "Lord, I don't want to worry anymore. I want to be thinking about what's most important to You. Help me." Know that God loves you as you are in prayer.